Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
So Tom Brady visited Disney World, and Tom Brady is starting a new company called Autographed. And Tom Brady met with Patrick Mahomes to film an EA Sports commercial at Carrollwood Day School. Is there a more marketable player right now than Tom Brady? And is there Brady fatigue yet? Nike has come out with new uniforms. This is true. For the Boston Red Sox, they're called Nike Connect. They're doing it with all the teams, apparently. And they're designing them to connect the team to the city. With the Red Sox, there's no red in the uniform anywhere. And I guess maybe there's socks. Does baseball need a fresh coat of paint? Would that help the sport? We'll discuss all that and more with Tom Jones, my former radio partner, longtime columnist of the Tampa Bay Times, now with the Poynter Institute of Media Studies on this edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. And Tom, your namesake, Tom Brady, TB12, didn't mention them as well. He's everywhere. He's everywhere.
He gets $5 every time you say TB12. Here's another $5.
I think that's true. You know, it was funny. I was listening to Dan Patrick, who I love to listen to, by the way. Been on the show a few times. But shameless plug. They actually came up with T-shirts before anybody else that said Tampa Bay. Mm. And they got a cease and desist letter right after that.
Of course they did. Brady and his team of Connecticut lawyers all over that.
Exactly right. So right after they got this cease and desist letter, then Brady's people went and copyright wrote Tampa Bay. They didn't even have the copyright. They just told them to stop printing the T-shirts so that they could then copyright it, and now they're printing the T-shirts.
They went in there and took Dan Patrick's lunch money, and then
and of course, like most people, Dan Patrick said, "Well, we stopped printing the T-shirts." Yeah. I didn't really want to take on his lawyers.
No, not Brady, no way.
It was funny. He had I'm thinking of who's the help me out with names here, and I don't know why I can't remember the former Duke basketball player that does all the analysis on ESPN. Jay Billis.
Oh, Jay Billis, yeah.
Thank you, Rick. Jay Billis was on with Dan Patrick, and he said because he's a lawyer. And he goes, you know, hey, I'll help you out with this copyright stuff. If you want me to take on Tom Brady, no problem. And at the end of it, he says, can't you just see Brady sitting there petting a furless cat with a pinky ring? Just going, got you now, you know.
That's exactly.
Dr. Evil, you know. He's Dr. Evil.
Right.
This is we feel like kitties. It's funny to me that he does own the world, and I'd never realized it because he was in New England. I should have. But it is incredible. And no kidding, he did launch a company called Autograph. And in fact, speaking of his autograph, just to give you an idea, he sold one the other day.
I saw that.
A rookie card of Tom Brady's. This is no joke.
He didn't sell it, but
sold
there
for $2.25 million.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, and CNN reported this happened just the other night. CNN reported that he's launching an NFT platform, which is non fungible tokens for all you older people out there. And basically, it's a digital content. You know, they link it to like a blockchain. And anyway, each NFT, as they call it, is unique, and it verifies authenticity and ownership and that sort of thing. So he's launching this company, and they're going to do this for all the arts, you know, music and entertainment and everything else, including sports. He's a global icon. And of course we know the TB12 brand is, you know, growing by leaps and bounds. It's really incredible. I mean, and maybe I'm just close to it because he's the Bucks quarterback now. I know he always did a lot of stuff, but it seems like since he's come from New England to Tampa Bay, the portfolio is growing.
The portfolio is growing, Rick, and I think his popularity has grown. I actually think moving to Tampa Bay has been a good move for him.
Oh, I totally think that.
Because let's face it, when he was in New England, most of the country didn't like him for two reasons. One, he was really good, and people were sick of New England winning every year. Mm-hmm. But number two, right. there was a little bit of stench about it. There was the cheating scandals. Believe it or not, whatever it was, if you liked New England, you thought it was the silliest thing in the world. If you didn't like New England, which was basically the rest of the country, there was Deflategate, and then there was Spygate. And yeah. It just like this feeling of, and Brady's not, he seems like a nice guy, but he's not warm and embraceable. He's not, he seems a little bit off-putting, a little bit distant.
Let me just say this. He wasn't up there. And I think part of that was the Patriot way. Part of that was Belichick. I think he's been a lot more approachable in Tampa as a Buccaneer. And as you said, I think his likability quotient went up. For one, there's another region of the country that's rooting for him, right? In Florida, anyway. But he's also sort of untethered. I mean, you think he throws the Lombardi Trophy, in Boston, like it's part of the Tea Party? If Belichick was on the parade, I don't know.
You might be right. But here's the thing that I think that's made the real difference, Rick, is now he's gone to another team that allegedly didn't cheat or doesn't cheat. And he won a Super Bowl there. So it almost, in a way, it almost scrubs him clean, I think, of whatever.
Absolutely. He got sanitized. I think he got whatever reputation he had was sanitized when he came to the lowly Bucks, a franchise that at the time has been replaced by your Minnesota Timberwolves, had the worst winning percentage in North American sports history, and had not been to the playoffs in 12 years, had won a game since, 2000, a playoff game since 2000. In two Super Bowl 2003 season or two season. And then he goes all the way with them in his first year during a pandemic. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
who's better, Brady or Belichick? Really?
I think this move has been terrific for him. I think it scrubbed him clean. As you mentioned, sanitized him. And now I think he's as popular as ever. Now people, I think people are starting to embrace him. They're starting to like him a little bit more than they always used to, just because, like I said, that, it was hard to like him in New England, especially after he won like three, four. After it got up to that, it's like, all right, enough already. I'm sick of this guy. But seeing him wear a different uniform has changed everything. As far as the NFL, Rick, I mean, I still don't know that he's quite as likable as like Peyton Manning. Like Peyton Manning, everywhere you go, Peyton Manning. And I know Tom Brady has done stuff. He's been on. He's been in a Ted movie, and he's done a Family Guy.
Saturday Night Live and stuff like that.
But Peyton Manning with the insurance commercials and Nationwide he does? I don't know, he's Saturday Night Live, and he does the thing on ESPN. Now he's retired now. He's not playing, so that helps out a lot too. He doesn't have to worry about getting ready for a season or working out or playing. But I could see Brady heading down that road. I could see Brady starting to become a more national figure. Look, I don't know what, like, does he do a whole lot of national stuff? Like, you don't see him in, well, I was going to say McDonald's. I can't imagine he eats McDonald's, but
yeah,
he did really the commercial doesn't. With
but
Gronk.
Him and Gronk did the AT&T commercial, and he obviously has, endorses a lot of things.
That you see in magazines, like
sports
magazines.
Sports apparel, yeah. But mostly, marketing, print marketing and things like that. I don't think he does a ton of commercials, television commercials per se, but you know what? After this, who's to say? Like I said, and here's the funny thing about this story that came down, just the other night was that there's a grainy photo that Dan Lucas of Channel 8 somehow came up with. I don't know who gave it to him, but of what looks to be Tom Brady wearing a Bucs uniform, or at least shoulder pads and whatnot, and a claim that he's out there with Patrick Mahomes at Carrollwood Day School. Now, this was during the afternoon on Tuesday, and it looks for all the world that's what it is. And then when Joey Knight, checked with Carrollwood Day, they came back and said, well, we can neither confirm nor deny, which is a confirmation.
Right.
And that their marketing person said, well, there's also a non-disclosure agreement. So, okay. So we got all that put together. Plus, it looks like it might have been EA Sports, which also, oh, by the way, produces Madden, you know, that football game.
Sure.
So you kind of wonder, you know, if it wasn't Mahomes and Brady, you know, doing some stuff for that, whether it's the cover or whatever it is. I don't exactly know what they were doing out there, but they weren't, you know, trying to replay the Super Bowl by themselves. And so it's, you know, two of the biggest stars, you know, in the NFL coming together for a promotional thing in Tampa is kind of neat. It's kind of news, you know. So he's not slowing down. Let's put it that way. That knee surgery has not stopped him from, you know, from doing what he needs to do in the off season, as he always does in a commercial. The guy has an incredible team around him. His social media, Tom, is just off the chain. It's funny. It's good. He's done a lot more since he's left New England. And
I think as a country, if I had a company and I was looking for a sponsor, mm-hmm. I don't know immediately after Deflategate or Spygate that I'd be a whole lot interested in Tom Brady at that point. Now,
maybe not.
Now, yeah, sure, bring him on. Let's and again, even that little moment, like him in the boat or throwing the Lombardi Trophy, or him sort of being carried when there was that great photo.
Yeah, Ryan Griffin leaning on Ryan Griffin as he's staggering off the boat. Yeah,
that made him normal. That made him feel like one of us. Like before then, he felt like somebody who lived on Mars. Like who is he's right. He felt like a Martian. But now he's okay. He's one of us. He gets drunk like us. He celebrates like us. He's a regular guy. You know, seriously, he just seemed like he's one of us now. You know.
What's really interesting, if you know anything about him, and this is absolutely true, I have done checked and triple checked my sources, that, and you can imagine, I mean, this guy's he's a celebrity quarterback. There's not been many of those in the game of football. I mean, you got to go back to Joe Namath, and, you know, I think Peyton Manning was that for Indianapolis for a while. And but there's not many guys that have that sort of celebrity, especially when you marry, you know, Gisele Bündchen and go on and, do all the things that they've done together. But I do think that, you know, he is, by all accounts, as gracious of a teammate, as does not put on airs with anybody, insists that you know, they not call him the GOAT, among other things, and really does care. Like, his leadership is very unique. He does it by caring and by demonstrating how much he cares for his teammates. And he will spend the time getting to know all of them. You know, there's that great story after he signed, one of the first things, or really not even after he signed, when he was going to agree to terms, the first thing and the only thing he asked of the Bucks wasn't his jersey number or anything like that. He said, I want the phone numbers of all of my new teammates, every one of them, if you can give me that. And he went about the process of calling each and every one and continued to you know, expand his relationship with them and got to know them. I know guys he's taken out to dinner and their wives. It's neat to see from the inside. You don't hear a lot about it, but you won't find me a teammate in New England and the guy played 20 years there, or one in Tampa, that has a bad thing to say about Tom Brady to anybody.
Not well, the other thing too. I mean, he's Tom Brady, and he's the biggest thing ever in football. But never heard really any off field scandals, like
salacious at all.
No, certainly like nothing like we're seeing with Deshaun Watson these days, or who knows that's how it's going to turn out. But no, I mean, you almost hear nothing about him off the field at all, really, other than he seems to be a great dad. And and enjoys his family and is a good family man. So no, it's been interesting to watch. I think that I've said this before, Rick. I think when we look back at this whole thing, when we're both retired and looking back at our careers, I think we'll look back and look at the Tom Brady / Bucks as probably the coolest story that we'd ever seen in Tampa Bay sports. I mean, it's just amazing to watch this guy.
It's been interesting
to be in his orbit, even.
Yeah,
even there's a sort of like a distant satellite to it. It's really interesting.
I don't know if I'm ever truly in his orbit. I'm more like just a comet passing by.
That's it.
once every 21 years.
He's the, actually, we're standing still. He's the comet that goes by. That's
the- that. There you go. Yeah, right. It's the supernova.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's it is interesting.
Black, we're more black holes.
Totally. Yeah. I'm going down the rabbit hole right now. But yeah, so it is interesting, and it's going to be, you know, what I look forward to, and I thought it was a shame last year, but whatever. We can't have nice things, is that that team, that likable team that, you know, won a Super Bowl, did it in the home stadium, that you couldn't have those sellout crowds in big games against Kansas City or the Rams. Hopefully we'll get back to that, and the world will get back to being normal, or whatever the new normal is going to be, and those stadiums will be full. That's the plan, at least. But I do want to see sort of what the reaction of Tampa fans are, and just their ability to scream and yell and, you know, do all those things that fans go to games for, you know, sure, to do. So right, it'll be interesting. Speaking of marketing, let me ask you about this. It's kind of interesting. I don't know if you saw this. Nike, which does a lot of sports apparel, Major League Baseball and others, they're always, you know, trying to create more marketing products. That's mm-hmm. what you do. You try to come up with different alternative uniforms and whatnot. They're doing this thing called Nike Connect and with baseball. And the first one I've seen is for the Boston Red Sox. So they're trying to connect the franchises with the city that they represent. And even though they are the Boston Red Sox, if you take a look, maybe I'll post this on Sports Day Tampa Bay on Twitter at Sports Day TV. The Red Sox uniforms that Nike has created, and they're going to wear them, I think, on Patriots Day, I believe. Right. They're yellow,
yeah,
and light blue, kind of like the Rays light blue Sunday uniforms, if you will.
Right.
Particularly the hats. So the jerseys are yellow with light blue Boston on them, and then the hats are blue, that light blue, and they're really cool. Like really cool, and they said
you like these uniforms.
I loved them.
Really,
and it's really interesting. Yes, because it took them a long time to figure out how they were going to connect the city to the uniform, because it's Nike Connect. And what they did was they went down that street where there's painted the finish line of the Boston Marathon, mm-hmm. and those are the colors. And even on its sleeve, there's a patch about, you know, the starting line of the Boston Marathon or whatever. So it has some connection from a color scheme wise, but let me ask you this. We see, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, teams, you know, on 4th of July, or, you know, if it's St. Patrick's Day, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. they'll wear different uniforms for that day, or different hats, that sort of thing. What do you make of this idea? And secondly, does baseball need this? Do they need an influx of newness? Because, Tom, I saw a thing the other day where the average fan that watches baseball on television is 57 years old.
Yeah, makes sense. It's funny. I just recently got the package, you know, the MLB package. And the reason I got it, right, quite honestly, is I love baseball. I know you love baseball. But I admit, mm-hmm. watching one game at one time can be boring. And so I got the package so I can watch five games at one time, you know,
right,
and flip around from. And there's, you know, I don't have to sit through pitching changes. I don't have to sit through commercials. I don't have to sit through long at bats or whatever. I flip over mm-hmm. to another game. Having said that, and maybe I'm a little more of a traditionalist, I'm not a big fan of these like constant third jerseys in any sport. And these alternate mm-hmm. jerseys and alternate uniforms. I don't mind it now and then. I don't mind the throwbacks now and then. But it seems like teams just go overboard with it. I just want you know, if you're the Yankees, and the Yankees really don't do much of it. But, you know, you like turning on a game. I like turning on a game and I immediately know who's playing. I don't like turning on and looking at the uniforms and go, who's that? Oh, that's the Brewers? That's the Milwaukee Brewers? So here's the thing, too, about these uniforms. And I'm looking at these Red Sox uniforms. I'm not crazy about them, but okay, you like them. So my thing is, okay, you could probably figure out certain colors that would work for certain cities. Like I'm guessing Pittsburgh, they already wear their uniform. It's black and gold. Everybody in Pittsburgh wears black and gold. I don't, and we can get yeah. the.
Oh, by the way, they wear it for the Steelers and the Penguins as well.
Right. And the Pirates, whatever, you know, so they all, yeah. you know, but I think there are a lot of cities we're going to be reaching for. These are the uniforms of that city. Like, what's Tampa
we're
Bay?
We're going to connect.
What do we know? What connects Tampa Bay? What would be, if you think water. Of a color of Tampa Bay?
I think of water.
Think of water.
Now, you could say, well, they already got blue uniforms. Well, that's true. But we're surrounded by water and sun.
Do you do sort of the blue?
Maybe an orange and blue.
Orange, blue. Yeah, like
Florida
green,
you know, like
palm
sunset.
Tree, sunset.
Yeah, green, palm trees, sunsets.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, back in the day when the St. Petersburg Saints played, shameless plug, my dad played for that team. I saw a uniform that they wore, and they were very similar to what the Rays are now. In fact, I think the Rays kind of, they'll tell you, they borrowed from that tradition of the St. Pete Saints being blue and white. Mm-hmm. But they had one that had a on the sleeve was a pink flamingo. Kid you not. Coolest wow. thing I've ever seen.
I see.
Just
I covered the old
on the scene.
Senior league team that was, remember, they had a senior baseball league.
They had
league.
Great uniforms. Yeah.
They did. They were good. They were red or gold or yellow and red. But their name was the Pelicans, which a lot of people mm-hmm. think that should have been the name of the team of the race. Like Pelicans is Saint. That is St. Pete when you think of Pelicans.
Absolutely.
Not a very scary animal. Not a thing that's got a...
Au contraire, I disagree. I accidentally caught one of those things when I was fishing one day. Brother, you don't want to get near a pelican.
Now he lives in your house. He lives in the spare
yeah.
room. You can't get
his
rid
name
of
is,
him.
His name is Pete, and he eats a lot of fish every day.
Don't you think, though, Rick, when you start, like, what's we got to come up with a uniform to get younger people to watch, you probably got troubles at that point, don't you think? I mean, you're probably not connecting with people.
I mean, if you're really gonna narrow it down, yeah. But maybe people are tired of pinstripes. I really don't know. Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. I really do. I think we might be reaching a little bit in the marketing side of things. But, you know, look, baseball is trying. You know, they are trying to make the games quicker. They're not.
I tell you, I watched the Yankees, Rick, and it was the other day. The game was – and I think it's a Yankees thing, partly. But I was watching
totally
the I was watching the Yankees the other day. It was going on 4 hours, and the score was 5-3 in the seventh.
Yeah,
like it
yeah.
wasn't like it was a 14-11 game.
No.
It was 5-3 in the seventh, and it was going on four hours. Like, what are we doing?
Taking a long time, a long time to play, and I, you know, this thing about, you know, now this year supposedly they've deadened the baseballs. And I believe they have, because I've seen some balls that I know would have been caught, and they're being caught at the warning track, just from the launch angles and things. I mean, I think baseball is trying. I give them that, but I don't know that we're getting there quick enough with the sport,
right?
Which is sad to me, because to me, there's not a better sport to play or to watch. But that's just me. I grew up loving the sport, and my dad coached
same.
And all that. But
yeah,
but still, there is a part of me that's sad that. You know, that they're losing the war a little bit here when it comes to, you know, comes to popularity and things like that.
I am looking forward to going back to the, when we can go back. I mean, I know you can now, but.
But in full capacity.
Yeah,
you know, like
for a regular game, yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah, no, that's fun. I also miss, you know, going to dinner and things like that, too. So
yes, I did.
It's not just restricted to sporting events.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's get you out on this one. I got a couple of them. One was a really good question that was asked of me on Spectrum Sports 360. I want to get your opinion of this. Check us out on that station, by the way. We do the face-off every night. I'm on usually on Tuesdays, but the question was this: what will you remember more about, or will people remember more about the Final Four? Gonzaga, right, in the season they had, and I would imagine the shot that Jalen Suggs had against UCLA, mm-hmm. or is it the Baylor Bears winning the national championship?
I think I remember Gonzaga. Now, part of that story will be that they lost the finals. I mean, that's part of, right, of the story.
But you'll see that shot a billion times, right?
I will. That's the shot that I remember. You remember, I think back to, like, the Christian Laettner game. Like, I remember,
yes,
that.
Which was not a Final Four.
No, it wasn't. I think it actually was a regional final, right? I think it
tremendous.
Was just
regional final, Kentucky against Duke, yeah.
I don't remember who won that year. I mean, I'm sure I can go back and look it up and I'll remember. Or I'll tell you another one. I remember the year where Duke beat where UNLV lost. They were going for a perfect season. They lost in the semifinals.
Larry Johnson's
to
team,
Duke.
Yeah.
Yeah, Larry Johnson and Stacey Ogman, all those guys lost to Duke, mm-hmm, in that was a semifinal. I don't remember, mm-hmm, who Duke beat in the finals. Maybe it was Michigan. No, Kansas. Maybe Kansas. That's what I'm saying. I can't remember. But I remember the semifinal game. So I remember Gonzaga. I remember the win against UCLA. And mm-hmm, and I think I'll remember that they lost. But that's what I think I'll remember. Oh, that's the year Gonzaga lost. No, not that's the year Baylor won. Does that make sense?
Right.
You know?
No, I think moments are big because, you know, it's one shining moment and all that, but they didn't win the tournament, and they were as great of a basketball team. People were comparing them to, well, if they go 32-0, you know, the only team to do that was was 75 Indiana.
The last time was the 76.
But they were already comparing them to the greatest college teams of all time, Jordan and Worthy, and, you know, and all of a sudden they don't win the championship, and not by a little bit. They got handled. They got manhandled.
Yeah.
So it's almost a shame because you think about where Baylor was, their coach got fired after he, you know, tried to cover up a murder, for God's sakes, of one teammate to another. Mm-hmm. You know, they took over that dumpster fire and brought it. And the thing is, Baylor was a really, really good team all year. They got into a little bit of a funk when they got a bunch of players got COVID, but
in fact, I think they were supposed to play Gonzaga earlier in the year.
They were.
And a game got
postponed. They lost to Kansas, and they lost to somebody else when they came back. And they just weren't themselves. And it took them a little while to get going again. But that's like one of the best college basketball stories in a year where, you know, you didn't have the blue bloods and you had coronavirus and you had all these obstacles. And they beat an exceptional 31-0 Gonzaga team that was no fluke. And I just think it's a shame if we don't remember the champion, because I think the champion is what matters here. But I don't disagree with you. I think that moment will be replayed more than Baylor cutting down the nets.
And you know, the thing, it was all set up too, that if Gonzaga had won the championship, that would have made the win against UCLA all the sweeter. That would have been the shining moment of the tournament. I mean, it's almost like, oh, Marty St. Louis scores a goal in game six, and then the Lightning lose game
seven.
They
lose, right.
Like, not only lose game, but lose like 6-1. You know, it's like they get annihilated.
Get their hat handed to them, yeah.
Exactly. You know, or you know, it's a little bit like, though, it's like Carlton Fisk. We're already dating ourselves a little bit. Carlton Fisk gets the home run in 75 World Series in game six, and then they lose game seven. You know, so it's almost like, but that's, I'm sorry. I will look back at this season and I'll remember. Yeah. That's the year Gonzaga lost. They had a great year. They were undefeated and they lost, but I tell you what, Rick, I probably watched more college basketball. I think this is a little pandemic related because we're stuck at home. I'm still, you know, pretty much
we all are,
the time. Yeah. So I'm way more into sports watching it than I even was when I was a columnist working at the Times Like, I'll sit down and I enjoy watching hockey games at night and basketball games. And I watched a lot of the NCAA tournament. It's kind of fun, too. We're all working at home for the most part. And so, mm-hmm, you know, it used to be like when pre-COVID, everybody would sneak to look at the TV or watch on their computers the March Madness. Well, now we get to stay at home, watch it at home. So I watched more of it this year than probably in a few years, actually. And I watched a lot of the women's tournament, too. The women's tournament was a lot of fun.
The women's tournament was exceptional. Yeah, it really was. It was fun. Okay, I'll get you out on this. The NFC South this year, you remember the NFC South. It was always the best quarterback division. Well, some of those same guys are still around, but for different teams, perhaps. So if I gave you the Saints and either Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill, or the Falcons and an aging Matt Ryan, or Carolina now with Sam Darnold, would you take the field or Tom Brady at 44 years old in the Bucs?
This isn't even close, is it? Tom Brady all day long.
This is Tom Brady going back into the AFC East when they had no quarterbacks.
That's exactly right. That's a great analogy.
I like Matt Ryan. I just think that team is in complete transition. Complete transition. That team doesn't know how they're going to field a defense, you know, who's their next quarterback going to be. They pick fourth. Everybody knows the first three players are quarterbacks coming off the board. The draft really begins at four now. We don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to get somebody to help Matt Ryan or somebody to replace him? We don't know. I like Carolina. I like Matt Rhule is a good coach. Darnold, you know, like every other quarterback with the Jets, had no chance, but it's going to take time. And I frankly don't know what Jameis Winston could be quarterbacking the Saints in the Super Bowl in LA next year, or he could be replaced by Taysom Hill by week three. I just don't know what you're going to get with Winston at this point in his career.
In order, I would go Brady and then Matt Ryan, and then the same, whatever combination of the Saints quarterbacks, and then Sam Darnold would be last on that list. Here's the thing. Let me scare everybody in Tampa Bay just for a second, Rick. There was about a half a minute there, I thought, a year ago, where Teddy Bridgewater made sense for Tampa Bay, where you looked at, you sort of scouted out the field and say, okay, who's all going to be available? And it was, like I said, a half a minute or so. It was like, hey, how about Teddy Bridgewater? Had a pretty good year in New Orleans. And now, Rick, imagine if that would have happened. He went to Carolina. Carolina watched him for a year and decided, you know what? Let's go with Sam Darnold.
Quarterback. Yeah.
And not only a new quarterback, let's go with – it's not like they're going to draft somebody. It's not like, hey, let's take a flyer on Mac Jones or somebody like that.
Yeah.
It's, hey, let's go get a guy that no one's convinced can make it. Like, maybe he can, but we're not – that. I mean, if you're Teddy Bridgewater –
I think it's unfair to Teddy. I think it's unfair to Teddy. Look, I watched those Carolina games, at least the ones the Bucs played. Their defense was horrible. Not bad. Horrible. That's some of the worst defense I've ever seen. They couldn't stop anybody. And, you know, they lost Christian McCaffrey, who was supposed to be and is supposed to be about 66% of their offense running and catching in play all year. So, you know, Teddy Bridgewater was never really poised to be the guy that was going to carry a team, although your quarterback sort of is put in that position. But he needed good players around him. He simply didn't get them. I still think Teddy's a good quarterback. I think he has to have a team much like the Saints were when he went he went 5-0 when Drew Brees couldn't play 2 years ago because he had a really good football team around him. That's what you need to build around Teddy Bridgewater. Frankly, you need to build around everybody. But
where does he fit? Where does he fit now? I know Chicago went out and got Andy Dalton. I mean, would Chicago
Don't know what's going to happen to him. I'll be honest with you. I think we'll have to see what happens in the draft. And if a team, you know, doesn't get the rookie that they need, perhaps he gets traded. The Texans might need a quarterback soon with all the stuff that's going on with Deshaun Watson. Right. I don't know. I think he got a raw deal in Carolina. But I'm here to tell you, and this is true, if Tom Brady had gone somewhere else, their number two option was going to be to sign Teddy Bridgewater. Wow. And you know what? I think he'd have played well enough to win, to get in the playoffs. I think. Maybe not, but I think he would have. Certainly, you couldn't predict a Super Bowl with him.
Right.
There's just no way. I mean, at one point, Brady was 7-5, so who's to say what Bridgewater would have done? But he was their choice over Winston, who was third in the sweepstakes. And then, you know, and then Jameis ended up being the third quarterback in New Orleans for no money at all.
Right.
So, you know, that was his decision. It's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be an interesting year this year. So what we got going on at pointer.org in the newsletter that you publish every week?
Let's see. The other day, 60 Minutes in a little hot water over a Ron DeSantis story that I thought they kind of messed that up a little.
Are they in hot water or is DeSantis in hot water?
No, 60 Minutes. I think 60 Minutes dropped the ball a little bit.
And what did they do? What did they do wrong?
The main thing they tried to do was make a connection between the fact that Publix, and this wasn't even a major gist of the story. Like sort of the overall part of the story, the main part of the story was
the vaccines were not going to neighborhoods that needed
wealthy people basically cutting the line.
Wealthy white people.
Yeah. Were they cut exactly. And sort of almost in passing, they talked about how Publix was a big part of the rollout of vaccines in Florida, and that Publix had donated, I think, $100,000 to DeSantis' reelection campaign. Well, first off, that's not illegal, and second off, it's not unusual. Publix donates a lot of money to a lot of people from both parties.
Usually both parties, right?
Right. And so there was that, and that was pretty much it. Like, that was the only connection they made. Like, huh, they donate to DeSantis' reelection campaign, and then Publix gets the vaccine rollouts. Well, there was the reason Publix got it, according to everybody, including the Democrats who were part of in Palm Beach.
It was for distribution.
For distribution, we're saying, like, look, 60 Minutes is off base here. The reason Publix got it is because Publix was ready to go. They were. Yeah. They said, give us the vaccines. We can get them rolling within days, whereas no other pharmacies were capable of doing that. And so they tried to make this connection, and there really was no there, you know? So So that's where.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I thought 60 Minutes. Now, it does, people want to make it out like, oh, 60 Minutes, there you go, done. Mainstream media blown another one. Like, it doesn't ruin 60 Minutes. 60 Minutes is still a great journalism outlet. But it wasn't a good. It wasn't a good look. I thought they kind of dropped the ball on that.
Well, it's good that, see, that's the sort of thing that you do, you know, writing about media and trying to be fair and you know, looking at what they report and then taking it apart piece by piece. you're kind of, hey, is that Tom Jones on line one? Oh, God. We got to talk to Tom Jones.
I got one network that's no longer taking my calls, but that's for another day, another
story. Yeah, we'll discuss that some other time. So check them out at pointer.org. Tommy, it's been great to be with you the last couple days, man. Appreciate it.
Always fun. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, busy weekend in sports. The Rays, of course, will raise the banners, both for the American League East and the American League Championship banner, against the Yankees for their home opener at the Trop. First pitch is 3:10 p.m. The Lightning will play Saturday in Nashville against the Predators. And it's Masters weekend, of course, as they crown a new champion on Sunday. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.